Why don't you write them down for me, Al? Just jot down, and you depend upon my judgment, I'm sure, to, you know. Will you do that? Yeah. And I wanted to tell you, too, Al, that, you know, when for a period of time there, that you used to write these Alaska sketches. And I want you to know that I go back to those and look them up and check things, and I enjoy them more now than I did then. And the story of China City and Blue Park of Maine and some of those things you wrote, they're really very good. I didn't know they were as good then as they are now. I think now. I'm past president here of the Historical Society, a local group that I'm interested, you know. And by golly, I just get the biggest thrill out of going back and reading your stories, because I know you talked to Gus Conrad and some of those old-timers, you know. Well, I think you did a good job for the time in there that you got stories that I'm sure they wouldn't have gotten otherwise. Betty here wants to say hello to you, Al. All right, and it's awful nice of you to call, and I'm sure wish you were down here, because I'd love to see you, but all good luck. And here's Betty. I'll do that. I'll do that, Al. Thanks.
Al, I'm sorry you're not here. We miss you.
Here. Right there in that box.
Hey, I got it.
Well, Gordon, we're the only two.
I got into Bill Cashin's. You know what the guy carries?
Huh?
He carries about four sheets of paper and two bottles of booze. How do you like that?
Oh, that's just real travel.
Okay.
But Gordon, tell me what this book is about, will you?
Oh, this is the only book of its kind.
Just glance through it now.
Did you read the note right here?
It's addressed to me.
Yes.
And it says, Mr. William R. Cashin, University of Alaska, College, Alaska. This is the only scrapbook containing a history of the Alaskan polar bear hockey team, a tour of the U.S. and Canada during the winter of 1936-37.
Right.
The 1936 University of Alaska championship hockey team was the nucleus of this first athletic group to leave Alaska for outside competition. This scrapbook and an autographed hockey puck used by the tour are donated to the University of Alaska.
Do it again.
Signed, Gordon Peckett, Gordon Bullet Peckett, captain of that team. Gordon, this is wonderful.
Well, Art and I feel that it'll be safer in the vault there or in a museum.
And I want to the captain, let me shake your hand.
Well, thank you. And here's my right winger, Arn Hainer. And
right wing.
Right, I want a picture of this. Harold, will you take
a
picture?
We had a left winger on that team. Yes, we had a left winger,
George
too.
K.
The whole, really? And when did was this thing autographed?
In 1936.
That
was
long
35,
ago?
36,
yes.
36,
36. So this is in the museum.
Oh, it's going in the archives,
yeah,
boys.
Right.
This goes in the archives. Gordy, get over here.
Gordy,
get over there.
Like Bill Cashin.
Well, we're having our picture.
Golly, Wade, good to see you there.
This has to be one of those.
This
is a pleasure, Bill.
Hold it up.
Right. You got to get it across.
Arnie, get over there.
It is indeed a pleasure.
Well, present
this terrific hunk of rubber to such a distinguished Alaskan personality.
Okay.
Good, yeah.
Damn,
thanks.
We full of the old beer.
Are we ever, boy?
Just a moment.
I tell you.
Been
several years since we've seen you. You're still teaching little mathematics? You're still keeping at it?
Yeah.
One of my boys,
You have to.
Are we going through this?
You want another one.
We're going to do it. And you hand me the book, and you're handing me the book, and you're handing me the thing, and I'm...
Now, it is with the greatest something or other that I present to you this terrific puck that spanked more sidewalls than the baby's behind.
Very good. You missed the headshot, but it's all right.
Yeah.
Jeez, get out the hockey stick.
Since you'll be taking this with you, when are you going up to the university?
Well, I'll be home next Friday.
Oh, I see. Yeah. But you take this with you.
Yeah, I'll be glad to.
I've got a briefcase with me here.
George, have you seen it?
Delighted.
The last you'll see it down.
You want to? Shall we leave it out? I'm sure that we've got honest people here.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, don't forget, Arne, you remind him. I think he's getting in his cups a little bit.
Where's my drink?
Hey, where's Pete Pass?
Mind your one eye.
Is that
I don't know. He's out of town.
Is Passy still
remind Bill Cashin to take the book. Get that book
right.
In the pocket.
Okay.
Oh, I've got it there.
Now,
see, I went to school with this this bunch of reprobates.
Are you writing up a working on that this year?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing this year.
Dr. Bunnell thing, isn't it?
Well,
centered around Dr. Bunnell.
It's the biography of Bunnell and his administration.
Yeah.
So he was there for 27 years, for God's sake,
you know,
as president.
I was wondering, I had this album, and it's pretty representative of the 2 years I was there, because it's every kind of picture of almost everything.
See, I'd like to look at that.
And I made that my hobby while I was there.
Were you a photographer?
No, just two or three of us guys got together, and I put together an album and stuff. And it's
secretary,
the door, it's almost everything. I couldn't help but thinking that if you're writing a history of this thing, you want pictures out of the factory of almost everything, you might be interested.
Well, where is it now?
Well, if I'd known, it's too bad now. It's up. I have it up to my home up in Escondido.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it's pretty bulky. Huh?
Well, it's quite thick.
Yeah.
In fact, when we got to putting it together, there was three or four of us that were doing one of these projects this morning. You know, we had nothing to do to kill. You know, what can you do in the winter months? You know.
Yeah.
And so I had to put insert sheets into it. You know.
Would you join the girls over there so I can get a picture
with me?
I think you probably
can. Well, you're not supposed to run away. He's supposed to take a picture of me with the girls, you see.
Oh!
You see? Get back. But,
well, if he wants a girl,
that's
a come on,
I
really.
I have to take this home to my wife, you know, too. You better watch
really?
It. Let's censor it up a little bit.
We have to make it good.
I will do that.
You have to get in like you were.
Yeah.
We need some girls in this picture.
Wade, you better stay around here now so we all get.
Yes, Mr.
Are you living in the area now?
Yeah, I'm at Los Angeles. I teach at Loyola University.
At Loyola?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep.
Well, of course. Yeah.
Hi.
Oh,
no.
He got us there.
Did I get you
a
black?
How long have you been up there now?
Since 67. I've kicked around quite a bit since I left Burbank in 1959.
Was that when you left?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to go it again. Oh, boy. I don't know about
remember
this.
Remember Huffy's famous words, what got boys in kind of focus?
Yeah, I remember that. One of the immortals there. Yes, sir. Yeah, so you went to Loyola.
Yeah.
And, well, you talked with us for a while. It was Dr. Parker.
Parker, yeah.
Parker, yes. Mrs. Parker was up to Fairbanks this summer.
Really?
You know, yeah, but Frank hasn't been back. He's back at St. Lawrence, you know, as head of the department there of math.
Well, when did he leave?
Well, he took, I would suppose, it must have been about 63 or so. You know. Yeah. And he took a leave of absence and then decided not to come back.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
So, is it professor now?
Well, not full professor.
But assistant professor?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Wade Peterson?
Wade Peterson.
Loyola University.
Loyola University.
Now, there are lots of Loyolas, but you're at Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, right. Yeah. Yeah. Loyola University, Los Angeles.
You took your master's with us up at...
Right, yeah.
And then you worked at the Geophysical Institute.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And... So, in case you don't know it, I'm making a little recording here. So I can remember the names of everybody and where they are. So this is why I'm identified. Did we get your name, Elmer? Elmer Turner, and you're teaching, you told me, up at
Pawtucket High School is in San Benito in Encinitas.
And in, is that the way you pronounce it?
Yeah, San Benito is the district, Encinitas is the city. Yeah.
And you said you were teaching anthropology that that Dr. Rainey taught you a lot long time ago.
Yeah, that was my first exposure to it.
Yeah.
Of course, our high schools now are getting into this.
Yeah,
we're teaching now. This year we're teaching in the department sociology, anthropology, psychology, in addition to
kind of a general social studies thing, but
that's expanding.
Anthropology is a relatively new subject
for the high school. Very much so. This is the first time that it's ever been taught at our high school.
Hmm.
Yeah, first time.
Well, there's nothing like starting.
Yeah, I'm kind of enthused about it. After having taught for so many years U.S. history.
Now, wait a minute. Now, I've been teaching at the university 28, and I taught in Anchorage 5 years. That gives me a total of 28 and 5, and I'm a professor of mathematics. That should amount to about 33. How long have you been teaching? You're still a kid.
Well, I was in and out of it a long time, but I have 17 years now.
Well, you're good to come along. Wade Peterson, do you know Wade?
I just talked to him.
Well, Wade teaches up here at Loyola University, and he taught in our math department at the university. He took his master's up there.
Oh.
What year, 59?
59, right.
59. And he was one of my understudies. I think he took over one of my classes for me once in a while.
Let me see here. So
John, I haven't got your name, address, and what you're doing for a living here.
John
Northrop. Now, you attended the University of Alaska what years, John?
1937 and 1938.
Okay, you came in just as I left, and I recall the name, and because I used to get the Denali for a little bit after. And now you're a dentist?
I went to Washington State College and graduated in bacteriology and public health.
Uh-huh.
Then I fooled around for a year, and then I went back to dental college, and I'm practicing in Bakersfield now.
You're a practicing dentist there in Bakersfield?
Mm-hmm.
Are you married? Do you have a family, John?
No, I just got divorced. I divorced my wife.
I see.
5 years ago.
Yeah. Well, these are not... this is the general questions that you ask, you know. Do you have a family? Are you sending any children up to the University of Alaska and all this kind of thing?
I don't have any.
Memberson, nice to see you, John. I know your name. As I said, I've seen your name. And I've seen
you
your
were there when I was
part of the
while,
I'm sure. Yeah, 37. I'm going to have another... Not at 39.
I didn't.
No.
So I just couldn't.
No. But I graduated in 37, and then I went to Anchorage, and so I was. Is this your glass? So I
need. Yeah,
damn it! I'm looking for mine. I got it in my hand. This is a good place to put it.
Yeah. Now, what do you
want to see if there's any more of that?
That's good.
Well, we'll throw that away.
How about Scotch?
Throw that away.
No,
we don't want Scotch.
So, you mean you're going to...
A little bourbon.
A little bourbon.
Well,
yeah,
we need some
supplement. You're a bourbon man, like I am.
I had a bottle of old bourbon once in my
time. Well, hey, that's not enough to wet your whistle.
You was. Let me taste it.
Good.
Do we have ice
that's
here?
That's better.
Well, the cooks are something. Is there any more ice in that ice bottle? You're a devotee, huh? I got when I started writing that thing, I thought, this is silly nonsense, But really, I'm just so pleased that people enjoy it.
To hear what you're going to do with it.
Yeah, everybody seems to get a kick out of it, and sometimes it's sheer nonsense,
Keep it up, Bill. There you are. They're very good.
Well, I'm glad. Is that enough?
Give me a little more.
As a mathematician, I was never claimed. I have no claim to being a writer. But
another thing that happened when I was at the college was these knock-knock stories they're going around. Remember that?
Yeah.
And George K. and the whole gang. Maybe you were there.
Oh, yeah.
We got into George K.'s dormitory room, and it was so damn full of people, you had to just sneak in and shove and then slam the door quick because there wasn't any more room. They were all like sardines with the heads all one and at the time, these knock-knock stories were going around, and there was one...
You want this recorded or not?
No, this is...
We'll cut this one off.
I don't know what he was really.
Your dad was on a dredge, anyway.
Right.
Her dad was one of the guys that used to carry about $200,000 worth of gold off the dredge every week.
Oh. Oh, cleanup man.
Cleanup man.
Cleanup man.
Right.
Uh-huh. That's the word. That's the word. And they do it every once in a while. 2 weeks, was it, Arnie?
Yeah.
Every 2 weeks.
Every week. Every
week. Yeah? Right. Cleanup day. Then they take it down and... And they'd put it
then
there
they'd
in
refine.
A retort
then
there.
Refine.
Oh, boy,
yeah.
That was real stuff. Yeah. Her dad was cleanup man on one of the dredges in Fairbanks, you see.
He was captain of the fleet.
Now, oh, God. Well, I used to enjoy the dredges back from the old Fairbanks Gold Mining Company. It was an English-owned company that worked on Fairbanks Creek. And the old colonel Aarons, Australian-born Jew who worked with the operation for the company, and my mother one time got to visit his home, and they had a little hole about this big from the back breakfast room of their house that they could see the parade ground at Buckingham Palace. And they had wanted to build a new barracks that would have cut this off. But in Britain, you know, the rights are awful strong. And he had the light of right, of light. So they could not build anything that would block his view.
Is that something?
So he continued to be able to see the parade ground.
Do you have that on Balboa?
I wish we did. Unfortunately, people.
That's
people,
why he went to the second story, so he could look over the other
yeah,
house.
Yeah, it used to be great, but now two people beyond us have built up. And the only thing we have now is a little view of the ocean between a couple of houses. And the people who are living in one of those houses are letting the plants grow up. Of course, the owner is a good friend of ours, and we say, Mary, get cut that down. And she says, they like it high. They're paying rent. I can't very well knock them down right now.
Go out and needle them at night. You know, give them a squirt of salt.
They're good kids. They're good stands.
Your Clark is
right. Uh-huh.
I talked to your husband there.
Well, I'm sure that he is.
More Dan and Dorothea and Dorothy Anderson.
Yeah. Is there another Dorothy in the house?
No, but I had a landlady by name Dorothea once. It's the only time I've seen her.
I'd like to be landlady.
She owned the apartment, I'll tell you.
Well, of course, if she's landlady, you know.
Yeah,
all.
Believe me, but she liked me.
That's
anyway. She liked me. But you lady, you didn't attend the university. It's only your husbands that had that.
No, her husband introduced me to my husband.
Really? Had he met him in Alaska, perchance?
Well, they were buddies. They
lived next door to each other.
Yeah, right in Alaska.
Well, that's one of the things about Alaska.
Everybody was wondering. My older brother is named John Clark. My father was named John Clark up there. But
yeah, I knew him.
Now wait a minute. Let's get that Clark. Was he in the court or
no? He was an attorney.
An attorney.
Came up in 1906 and died in the early 30s.
Was that your father?
Right.
He was a pretty good writer. Did he write a few?
Right, and the Sourdough Sagas is about half his writings.
That's right.
And I want to point out that my elder brother, John, finally retired this last January after quite a number of years where he was the head of the monopropellant laboratory of the Picatinny Arsenal. And he is soon to publish a book on the history of rocket propellants. It will be published by the Rutgers Press. And
his name is John Clark. Too.
John Clark? Right. John D.
John D.
Of Dix, of Dix class. And he is living in Upper New Jersey and publishing, as well as his own book, a stock market report called Graphic Stocks.
Mm-hmm.
He lives up in a house. He's alone. His wife died recently. But he has about 5,000 square feet of house and raises Alaskan huskies in his spare time occupation. Willie Ley, the rocket man, is going to write, has written the preface for his book. Now, my own bit, Warren Clark, I am retiring in March after 36 years continuously in the aerospace industry. Present job is senior specialist electrical systems for the Apollo program.
Which put the man on the
phone. I'll tell you. Yeah. John, have you been here? I'm not. You're not John.
No.
Warren.
Is that button that you've got? Is that one of the space things?
Right. This is the Apollo first bit.
The tie clasp, and so you worked on that.
Right. Yeah. And at the present time, I'm working on a space station study. But I am retiring. I'm going to get, I won't say it, out of here.
Good.
Out of here.
Out of the industry.
Yeah.
At the present, I'm also completing my tenancy, or whatever you'd like to call it, with the Society of Automotive Engineers. I've been the sponsor of the aerospace activity and a member of the engineering activity board for the last 3 years.
After you attended the University of Alaska, you said in 25, 26. Or so.
26, 27, and 28, 29.
And then you came out here.
Yeah, and they got a bachelor's at Stanford in 31.
They accepted your credits even in those early years.
Oh, they loved them.
That's right. Stanford would accept.
Absolutely. There was no question whatsoever. And I took 2 years of graduate work at Stanford. And got
was it mechanical engineering?
Aeronautics.
They must have been a pioneer in that field.
Well, they had quite a few before me, very fortunately, because my predecessors did yeoman duty in finding a job for me when I got out.
Well, that's what I say. It was quite specialized at that time.
We're going to give this to you.
Right.
You don't know,
Bill, what kind of a crowd you're in.
I'm beginning to appreciate it.
Right. You better watch it.
Yeah. You know, last week I was with the Pioneers of Alaska down there at the annual conclave celebration. Mm-hmm. And I had a marvelous time there, but I don't know. This one is going to come pretty close.
Are you going to be in Las Vegas next week?
No, I can't make it. I know they left me in Las Vegas.
Naturally, you
couldn't do it this year.
Now, are there any more of your father's papers around?
As far as I know, that is the sum total of it.
And how did he get hold of them? Did you negotiate with you?
No. To begin with, I had a copy that got lost. Lynn Smith had the copy. And her being his nephew, collected them when after Lynn died. And he asked, he wrote me, and we got together in Long Beach a year or so later, and decided it was okay that it should be published. I was definitely in favor of it.
Yeah.
And the one with the laugh is my wife.
Yeah. Well, I met her. I introduced myself.
Right, good.
Well, I think that was first. You know, I read that story that he wrote about the fire. He wrote the one about the Great Fairbanks fire of 1906. And as far as I know, it's the best story of that fire that I've been able to find.
Well, he was a good storyteller.
Yeah.
And of course, his mentor in that was Volney Richmond of the NC Company.
Yeah.
Volney could tell stories like nobody else could. And my father tried to do the same.
Yeah.
And that story, I think the thing that interested me the most about the whole thing was the fact that his typewriter, which had arrived disintegrated, he'd had somebody put it all back together again. It and quite a few $1,000 worth of notes belonging to the NC Company. They started down the stairs together, and the typewriter beat them all.
That's right. Well, I remember that fight.
Well,
does he relate to about burning up their hams and bacons to keep the the boilers functioning?
Well, to get them started, because
they had to have water pressure,
right? Because the NC supplied it all.
Yeah.
Of course, I have a great love for the NC Company.
Yeah.
Because, of course, my father and mother were married upstairs over the NC Company building.
In Fairbanks?
In Fairbanks, when Bonnie Richmond was the manager.
What was your mother's maiden name? Was she a pioneer?
No,
no.
She and my father were engaged in Central California in Stockton. He was an attorney there before he moved up to Alaska. Uh-huh. And
now his middle initial was A, was it?
John Albert.
John A. Clark.
Right. And
he was an attorney at Fairbanks?
Yeah, he was an attorney at Fairbanks for about 30 years.
Well, wasn't it, did he serve as,
he was,
as clerk of the court?
No. No.
Was that another Clark?
No, that was another one. That was, yeah, there was another Clark who served at that. And in those days, it was all a close friendship.
Right? Yes.
All the attorneys, everybody knew everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And we had it was a real nice operation. I always remember many of our summer vacations because the court went to the cases rather than the cases coming to the court.
That's interesting.
And we used to climb aboard the old riverboats that the NC Company owned in those days, and we'd go to Ruby or to Fort Yukon or to any of the places on
where the
river.
Problems were.
The judge was there, the clerk of the court, two or three attorneys, and they would go there.
Try the kitchen.
How old were you then?
I went up there when I was 3 months old.
Jeez.
And didn't leave permanently until I was about 20.
That was called a floating court.
Right. And they had a ball.
Oh, well, they must have. The court party arrived. That was not only good business to the town, but it brought some life and intelligence to the...
And all the attorneys being good friends, and in those days, the good old bootleg type of bit and so on, everybody would meet, and I was young enough that I couldn't drink.
To be there from 3 to 20 is a real
experience. Oh,
at that time, what were these years? What were the dates?
I was born 1909, so I went up there about in the middle of 1909, summer.
Jeez.
Couldn't get back before then, and I didn't leave permanently until
1929.
I went to Stanford in 1929.
Really,
and we did not go back till about 3 or 4 years ago.
Hey, you must have helped chase the Indians out of Chittenden.
No, there weren't many Indians. The Guggenheims had Chittenden all pretty well in shape with the
Did you ever ride the Tanana Valley Railroad that used to run back there from town?
Oh, absolutely.
Go up to Fox and Chetnik, I guess.
I ride to the line. Yeah, I know it. He's loving every minute.
No, this is. He's going to edit it. So
and back in here,
you can say hello too.
Got a little professional, professional ethics here.
Right.
Too.
Yeah. And back in the old days when that old narrow gauge used to run around. And they would stop.
When I was a kid.
Right.
You still are.
Is it true that she was only 3 years old when you married her?
Right.
Well, this is by the new calendar.
That's by the Mayan Aztec calendar.
Nick was only 4 years old.
Introduced us.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was living about two doors from us.
Is that right?
Dick, when did you... Were you a young boy in Fairbanks, too?
No. I went 4 years to high school and 2 years to University of Alaska.
You went to Fairbanks?
Yeah.
In Fairbanks.
And I have to remember the first time that Dick showed up at our In the Streets baseball game. He damn near killed us. Because he had the fastball, and he liked to keep it in close.
Like shaving the hair off of your chest.
Right.
It's a little bit on the dingy.
When you edit that, just discount what he said. The Alaska Agricultural College.
And so did mine.
Who didn't?
I didn't go to University of Alaska.
I didn't.
Right.
I just knew Dick.
Right.
Can you remember, though, thrashing wheat at 32 below?
Yeah.
flatten me?
No, I did that.
I've got the darndest. I've been writing to Joe back and forth, and he's most enthusiastic.
Where is he now?
Oh, Washington D.C. retired. Has a little
you do with your feet
on the topic.
How do you flatten me?
How do Washington?
No, Joe flatten me.
If I know Paul, you know what he's doing. Probably a fish wheel out there in that tonight. And when the box gets full, he doesn't do a thing. He just calls his wife and tells her to empty the box of
the
This I saw at Circle City, incidentally.
Yeah.
We went up to Circle City, and there you have the Indians with the fish wheel, or the Eskimos, or whatever they are, and this darn fish wheel is going around all day. And when that box of fish gets full, the husband doesn't do a thing. He just say, hey,
calls
you.
Well, hey, that's the first one.
Empty the box.
That's the women's lip move.
Right.
That's
women's work.
That's
women's work.
Right.
No. This is a picture that I first saw when your brother Pat had it in his dormitory room, you know. And really, I thought it was fascinating because I came from a big family, but by golly, we never got our pictures, you know, and collected. Now, let's start right from the top now, Frenchie. And
there's
go
Bill.
Right no, no, that's your dad.
That's my dad. It is.
And his name,
yeah,
full
this,
name
well,
was?
This was taken about 1927, 28, I believe.
You were all,
you look like Bill?
You were all living in Cordova at the
that's
time.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now, this you started here. Now, what was your dad's full name?
Harry Irenaeus O'Neill.
And when he came to Alaska, did he come to Cordova first, or did he
yes,
go?
Yes, he came to Cordova first.
And he was in the mercantile business there. What business was it in there?
He worked for. I'm lost at the moment. I can't remember the name.
Well, it was a general store, wasn't it?
It was a general store, general mercantile business.
Yeah. And so that's Harry O'Neill Sr., as everybody knew him as Harry O'Neill, didn't they? And this is your mother. What were your mother and dad, where were they married? And do you recall?
They were married in Seattle.
Uh-huh. And did they come to Alaska shortly after they were married? Or?
No, my dad came first, my mother came later.
Uh-huh.
And Harry, Edward, and Alice were all born in Seattle.
The three oldest?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This which brother is this now?
That is Harry.
That's the oldest brother. He's passed on now.
Yes, he has passed away.
And the next one is Bill.
That's right. He's currently a regent at the university.
Well, he's president of the
Board. Oh, he is the president.
Sure.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
We don't correspond.
Well, he succeeded Elmer Rasmussen last year. So
good.
Bill was the second oldest in the family.
That is correct.
And this is your sister?
Alice.
Alice. Now, she was in Palmer, wasn't she, for a while?
She was in Palmer. She worked for the co-op up there.
Rehabilitation Corporation,
yeah,
or whatever it was.
That's right. Like when they brought the farmers to Alaska.
That's right. Now, this is 1970, but she's passed away several years ago, didn't she?
She passed away, I believe, about 48. I don't recall exactly.
Yeah. Well, I knew her. Now, I didn't know your oldest brother, but, of course, I've known Bill all through the years.
Harry passed away in Juneau before the family moved from Cordova. He had moved to Juneau. He had married, moved to Juneau. He passed away there.
Is that right? Well, now, that takes us down through the sister, Alice, yes. And she's deceased now. Now, your next brother.
Philip,
is he still alive?
Oh, yes, he lives at Sutton. He and his wife, Jean, live at Sutton. Their address is Palmer, but they live about 13 miles
out
of Palmer. Oh, yeah,
Phil, I know. Does he still run the roadhouse there?
No, he works with my brother, Mike, and the rest of the family in Anchorage.
Uh-huh. All right, and the next brother here.
That is Edward. He passed away about 3 months after Edward.
Is that right? What year was that? Would that have been?
It was in 36.
So quite a long time ago.
Yes. He passed away.
That's 30 some odd years ago. And your next brother?
That's Mike. He lives in Anchorage.
Mike, yeah. I see him every once in a while, and he's still in business. That is it Richmond's that he still
yes.
runs? Yeah.
Yes. They have other stores. They have liquor stores and, I believe, another cocktail bar.
Uh-huh. So it's kind of under the name of O'Neill Enterprises.
O'Neill and Sons.
And Sons. And next is Pat, huh?
Yes. He lives in New Canaan, Connecticut.
I heard from him not so long ago and got a copy of a letter, you know, that he wrote to Pat was a kind of an intermediary here in the project that I'm on, because according to a letter that I got from
Joe Flackney, he got a letter from Pat, or he called Pat on the telephone, and got the bright idea. He says, by golly, it's about time Cashin started writing a history of the university. And Pat thought it was a good idea. So Pat came up last commencement time, and he says, I'll put a bug in Brother Bill's ear. And when Pat came up, he was up there at this commencement. He and his wife were going through to Japan to take in yeah, that's right. So apparently he crossed paths with Bill along the way and mentioned to Bill. He said, Flackney called me and said, it's about time we got Cashin busy writing the history of the university. Bill thought it was a wonderful idea. He proposed it to the Board of Regents, and I guess it passed by unanimous vote in something less than 10 minutes.
Hey, where's Pat?
This is Pat, right here.
Pointing to him right
there. Oh, yeah. There's that stinker.
There he is. He was a good guy. He graduated from the university a little after I did, I guess.
He was there with me.
38 or 9?
35.
No, I graduated in 37.
He didn't graduate then, but he was there with us.
Yeah, that's right.
Pat graduated in 41, I believe.
He came in as a freshman when
you
I...
You see the whole family?
Yeah, this picture Pat had on his wall in the basement of the main dormitory when I was a freshman, and I thought it was a wonderful picture, and Pat would tell us the names of all the kids, you know, and because in that day, this is the O'Neill family.
Oh, the Cordova.
Yeah. And Frenchie here is describing them to us. See? Come on, let's keep on down there. After Pat came Teresa.
Rusty.
Oh, this is the one that I get
mixed up. Her name is Florence. But she's always been known as Rusty. She's got red hair, naturally.
Yeah, yeah. But no, she had quite a number of children, didn't she?
She has 15 of her own.
15. Are they here and living in the States here?
Some of them are. Most of them live in Anchorage.
Does your gang ever sleep at night?
I don't know. But,
I mean, to go to bed to sleep.
One of her daughters lives down here in National City right now. She was up to visit us a couple of weeks ago.
Is that right?
She has a small boy of her own.
Well, everybody thought, I've heard of Rusty and all, and through, but I don't think, she didn't come to the college.
No, she didn't.
She got married right
out of
high
school. She was otherwise engaged.
Next in line.
That's me.
By golly, yeah. You were kind of handsome at that.
I am Francis.
You're sure a horrible specimen of the O'Neill family, I must say.
You were Francis, then. F-R-A-N-C-I-S, and everybody called you Frenchie for some reason.
How did that come up?
How come you're called
Frenchie? We don't know.
Did the family call you that?
My mother certainly never did.
I think
she didn't go for nicknames.
No.
She didn't even go for shortening, like Mike was always Mike.
Michael, you bet. Yeah.
And Pat was always Patrick.
Right.
Which you notice he always signs his name that way.
Yes, right.
Either
right.
Pat or Patrick.
Yeah. All right, after you was a girl.
That's
here.
Margaret. She lives in Seattle. Now.
Oh, does she?
She and her husband, her name is Altizer.
Is that her married name?
Yes, Altizer.
Is she
Incidentally, Rusty is her married name is Imlock. Her husband is Bill Imlock.
And they live
in Anchorage.
In Anchorage.
Oh.
And then you, now getting back to this girl.
That's Margaret.
Margaret, and she lives in Seattle, you
yes.
say. And then the next one is, I guess, the one I know so well.
That's
huh?
the one you know. That's Teresa.
This is Terry.
She lives in Palmer. She's married to Norm Hartung.
Yeah, Norm Hartung. And she came to the college for a second year. I don't know whether she graduated, but almost.
She didn't, but she helped to liven it up while she's there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I see her in Palmer every time I go there. And the last
time. Was she the one that threw a bomb in the gymnasium or something?
Well,
I'll never say.
Norm Hartung. And then
that is Rosemary. She lives in Ontario, Oregon.
What is she married? Or
yes,
yeah.
She is married. Her name is Clark.
Her married name is Clark. Well, I think
she
I
believe, five children.
I think it's a remarkable family, and as I said,
these are your brothers and sisters.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. He's right here, and this is his brothers and sisters. Now I can't.
This is my mother and father up here.
Yeah. Well, there were an even dozen in the O'Neill family. Now my family, there were eight of us, but we never did get our pictures all on display at the same time. My mother and dad, and there were eight in my family. I was right in the middle someplace. You see. Yeah.
I don't believe these were all taken at the same time. Because
maybe not.
I believe Harry had left Cordova.
Yeah. Well,
and Bill was away. He's either working up in the morning.
As I understand, each of you kids had a copy of this picture. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, that is correct. See? Not only a copy of this picture, but we all have scrapbooks. Our mother kept a scrapbook for each one of us.
Your mother was a remarkable woman.
We were married.
Yeah, last of it.
Now, when did your father and mother pass away?
My mother passed away in
excuse me.
10 o'clock. Let him
your mother passed away on January 30th, 1959, and your father passed away on August 4th, 1964.
That's my wife telling me.
Well, they can remember.
Are they lying over there?
Well, I want to tell you, Frenchie, and I never went to college with you, and I always know you as Francis, but everybody calls you.
What years were you there?
I started in 37. I wound up in 42.
Just beyond.
But this is one of the greatest pictures and isn't it remarkable that I remember seeing this on Pat's dormitory
back in
1933. And
this is president of some mining company.
He's president of International Mining. He's chairman of the board of Paddle Consolidated. He's on the board of
some recordings.
He has an address on Park Avenue, so things are pretty good there.
But he spends a good part of every year in South America.
I saw this picture on Pat O'Neill's dormitory wall in 1933 when he came to college. He displayed his whole family's picture above his desk, and I've remembered this picture ever since. And now Frenchie here is giving me the names and the little dope on them. Isn't that remarkable after all these years?
Yeah.
I think it's
No, amazing. I never knew it either.
Yeah.
It's real about it.
It goes off. And I'm becoming mighty fatigued.
Yeah, and you're becoming.
Okay, Frenchie?
I have to. Where?
For what?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You that don't know. But
I think it's very appropriate that we start this business meeting off right with nostalgic memories of those golden yesteryears on campus. I'll pull the plug and we'll start. Okay. This is the Alaska University fight song.
Stars and northern lights, Hillcrest Hall's gleam stately white.
inspiring love and faith. Our alma mater, we revere thy name. Does anyone know the verse? All hail Alaska, sing her praise, our home of Carrie College days. A pioneer, we see thee stand. Champion of far north frontier land. Thy sons and daughters e'er will be forever loyal and true to thee. Imbued with love, we sing glad acclaim. Our alma mater, we praise thy name. Atta girl, what a time to run out of film. Work, gal.
By Marguerite, the wife of Ken Johnson, who used to work for the Standard Oil Company in Fairbanks and used to be a roommate of Bill Cash.
That's right.
Oh, and
I tell you, I came by my music the hard way, I'll tell you.
And I'll never forget the time.
How come I never had a roommate like Marguerite?
That was a little deep for most.
And I'll never forget when I came up from the Kuskokwim after a Cinnabar expedition that I visited with Bill and Ken, and I reported on Herb Brazil, who was awful sick. He had eaten some poisoned fish. And do you know how I pronounce that word? Potame. That's the way it sounded instead of Tomaine.
Yeah,
I'll
that's
get
right.
That. 1937 or 8.
I thought he'd invented a new disease.
Well, now that we have a feeling of reverence, may we start with our business meeting?
Oh, believe you me, the business is going to be short and sweet.
Good. That's the way.
First off, I want to welcome you all to my home. I think I've done it individually up to now, but this is official. That's all right. Fox always was long-winded.
This signifies silence is desired.
Pretty subtle.
I will keep it handy.
For those of you who don't know, I had a call from the Highway Patrol. Maybe you're wondering, did I get a call from the Highway Patrol? I had previously had a call from Marion Hall and Virginia Fredericks. They were on their way here and they wanted directions. I gave them the directions. then I received a call from Virginia. Apparently their car had broke down a mile from the College Avenue turnoff, and she had hiked up somewhere and gotten to a phone and called the AAA and called me. I didn't realize the Highway Patrol was so kind to the public. I've seen times when they weren't. But they called to let us know that they were on their way and that they would be here soon. We hope.
Well, I hope. They scared us. Yeah, if they can find it.
But I enjoy this meeting here tonight, especially because we have people that have never been here before, like John Northrup. I think, what, 33 years since we've seen each other, John? 32, 33? That's a hell of a long time. This is John Northrup, to any of you that haven't met him.
I know him.
We all do. And of course, we want to.
I'm here.
Her no more.
Here I am.
Betty Clark. Oh, Dorothea. We're very glad to have Betty Clark with us.
Betty Clark.
She's trying to fool us. Dorothea Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah, but her husband and your husband ain't one and the same, I hope.
Oh. That's that new Betty Clark. Look at Warren Clark, he's not the same.
And also we have with us tonight for the first time Mrs. Church's mother, Mrs. Saunders. And we're very happy to have you.
Correction
you,
on that.
Oh, hey, I got so busy talking to
correction
this.
Correction on that. That's my mother-in-law.
That's what we said. Mrs. Church's mother. Hey, what are you drinking there, boy?
This coffee has got to me.
Hey, I got so busy talking to this one old goat that I forgot to introduce him.
You forgot me.
Dorothea, you've been around before. But all right, the Dorothea and Warren Clark. Would you stand up and be recognized?
We'd love to.
But this one, I wasn't talking about you when I said the old goat, you know.
I know.
He's looking at you.
He's just over here. I forgot all about
him. I'm the older.
Tell him about the old goat retiring. The old goat's about to retire.
Right.
Well, this one isn't retiring. He's still working. In fact, he's working on a very good project. I think it's long past due. Bill, would you stand up and give us a few words about this history that you're writing?
No, I don't think I can do that.
Not a few words.
How do you do? I'll just take a bow, you know.
You just take a bow.
No, I tell you, really, there's professional and ethics involved here. You see, I don't want to tell you about this damn book because otherwise, then you won't buy it, see? And my agreement is that I don't get a commission. A royalty, you know, until I sell 5,000 copies, you see. So, believe me, you're all going to buy a copy, whether you like it or not. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Bill. Thanks for the advance info. Can we have a report of the minutes of the last meeting? Well, I think everybody's met just about everybody else.
We all know who everybody is.
Okay. I don't think we need something.
Nobody knows who I am.
You're John D. Rockefeller's wife, and we know
it. You do. Me, Tarzan.
That's right. Nobody knows who I am either, but I don't give a damn. Would you give us a minute to the last meeting, Gordy?
The last meeting was held on May 26th. At the home, on May 23rd at the home of George and Louise Dickey in Glendale. The minutes were published in a newsletter dated May 26, 1970 that everyone got. They were very well covered. The only thing of importance that was carried out was it was moved by George Dickey, seconded by Harold Culver, and hardly passed to send a $50 contribution to the Winifred McDonald Memorial Scholarship Fund at the University of Alaska in the name of our chapter. That was done. So, since I haven't heard any complaints of the things written in that newsletter, I assume it's all right.
I see no reason why we won't accept it. The book was announced.
Oh, boy.
I would like to say it was an excellent job of typing.
Yeah.
Well, there was a couple errors, but I'm not going to go into it. He can type better than I can. And we have a treasurer's report, Gordy.
All of the details of our concerning the finances of our chapter is recorded in this official paper, and I will give the treasury report by stating what the balance was as of October 15, 1970. There has been no disbursement of funds since. The balance in our treasury is $103.96.
Wonderful.
We're in the
black.
We can do with it.
We served dividends.
Very good.
Right.
I'm all for it.
Do we have any correspondence, Gordy?
Wait a minute. You didn't give us a chance to accept it.
Gordy, you hear me?
I want to declare a dividend.
Who do you think runs this anyway?
In regards to correspondence, I have received a letter from Stan LaFon, who stated that they have moved to Westport, Connecticut. He has changed jobs. He's with the American Metals Climax Company of Westport. Otherwise, they would be here tonight. I received a letter from Jean Bonnell Kennedy the other day, and she says, "My sentence was interrupted because I received a surprise telephone call from Jamie Cameron from Hawaii. I will have to pick her up at the Air Force Hamilton Field Base."
When?
Sorry. This week.
Sorry, but this week?
Yes. Right. October 7th when she wrote this letter. And she was at the Northern California chapter meeting last night.
Okay.
Who was?
Jamie Cameron.
Was Jamie and...
No, Jean Bonnell Kennedy.
Jean was,
right.
And not Jamie.
No.
I received the meeting notice of the Northern California chapter from the secretary, Marion Martin Hall, that is supposed to be here, and said, "We are meeting on Friday because Southern California got ahead of us and set their night for Saturday this year. We will have to negotiate with them in 1971. And the meeting was held at Dinah's Shack. I received a letter from Wilma Rasmussen Morrison that most of us who went to school in the 40s knew. She was very athletic. She is living in Sedona, California, and says if any...
Arizona.
Sedona, Arizona, and if anybody comes there, be sure and stop in.
I haven't been there just about 3 weeks ago.
Received a letter from Miss Pauline Thomas, Secretary Treasurer, Middle Atlantic Chapter, University of Alaska Alumni Association, Washington, D.C. We most sincerely appreciate your thoughtfulness in trying to help us form our constitution. Also, you have given us an idea of what to do when we hear of any new chapters being formed. Share the constitution. Thanks for sharing your constitution with us."
Who is Pauline Thomas?
Well, she's a
Bruce
a
Thomas she, daughter?
She was the secretary of the Middle Atlantic chapter.
Is that her own name or is that her maiden name?
What name?
Is that her maiden name or?
That's her only name.
Is that Bruce Thomas' daughter?
Oh, no, relative.
Received a letter from Barney Bear, Tacoma, Washington. Regret that I cannot attend your meeting. Thanks for the invitation. I am one of your biggest boosters in this part of the country. That is the correspondence.
In addition to these, we received a letter from just yesterday. No, today came from the Boyles, Barbara and Jim. They were sorry they couldn't attend tonight. They had two sons playing football this afternoon. They had a high school carnival and... You know, you got a family, you got other interests. And they were unable to come. They're looking forward to seeing all of you in the spring. We also had a letter from Sigrid Sepla, thanks, which Betty has. Part of it was addressed to Betty. She is back in college, and she's just too darn busy. She finds school a little rough. You know, after 30 years, I guess.
She also works 3 days a week besides. She says she gets up at 4 a.m. to clean her house and do her work at home.
Do we have any announcements?
I think that we should give our host and hostess that have celebrated their silver anniversary on the 13th of this month a hearty applause and this card from Simon Wilder.
I also, there are a couple of gifts that came in this evening and I should open them.
Tell us how you did it.
It wasn't easy. Gosh,
and I put it up.
See, he has quite a bit of power. Thank you all very, very much.
We are very pleased to give this card to a new bride, Miss Betty Clark.
That's Mrs., I think.
Mrs.
Oh, I think so. That's a little extra.
That's a little extra. My table was too active here.
A little bit splashed on, Betty.
It was launched, that's all.
I think this would be of special interest to most of the members here that I had read a very fine book by Dean Patty titled North Country Challenge, President Emeritus of the University of Alaska, copyrighted 1969. Don Muller has the book. It says, front cover information. Mr. Alaska tells a story of 50 years. Dredging Gold Rush Creek, turning a log cabin college into a great university, helping a territory to stateshood. A very fine book about an inch and a half thick by Dean Patty. Another announcement, as most of you may be aware of, that our chapter has started having two meetings per year. We have the chairman of the Los Angeles Area Committee, Louise Dickey.
Where is she?
There. She had an announcement about the next meeting. And I would like to present to you a volunteer to be chairman of our San Diego Area Committee for the coming year, Harold Culver.
Hooray, hooray.
I like the way he put that.
Well, you say you volunteer.
Well, now it is hard to realize that we held our charter meeting on October 21st, 1956. And at this meeting tonight are many of the members who had attended that meeting. All of the officers are here tonight. Harold, George Dickey was vice president, myself, and Elmer Turner, and Warren Clark, who was secretary treasurer and really sparked it. And in addition, Louise Dickey, Elmer, Clarice Turner, and Arne Hainer. There are 11 of us here this evening that had been at the charter meeting in 1956.
What about Judy and I? We were there too.
Harold and Judy and you.
I was there.
Well, I had here the Clark, the Culvers, the Dickies, the Picotts, the Turners, and Arne Hainer. Everybody here for my president. It's rather amazing to me as time goes on why we just take our wives for granted. Why we just take our wives for granted.
Why take your wives for granted?
Right.
Hey, who likes granite?
Well, is that all your announcements, Gordy?
Yeah, I'm not
coming. Do you have any old business?
Any other announcements?
Bill Kendrickson said you're taking too damn much.
Do you have any old business or any other announcements?
No. New business.
We are.
Okay. Any new business?
Mr. Chairman. We'll be back if the door's open.
We have a gentleman on the floor.
I have attended several of these meetings, and I've seen them used as
sounding boards and passing things back and forth about other clubs, even political rallies. I've been the retiring type and have sat back and haven't said much. But now I have come into a bit of